first of all, Jerry, does the Wolves' way of life, or the Wolves' way, full stop? I hear people talk about this a lot. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, it's one of the things I had to be aware of when I came for the interview, actually. It's not dissimilar to what I've been working under at Norwich City for the last 3 years, and I'm probably not dissimilar to myself, really, in my career. It's about being professional. It's about having a work ethic. It's about coming in and making sure there's real attention to detail within my work as a coach, and therefore the players are having that detail as well off the back of it. Having a structure and a format really to work off as well, so we're not just going out and we're just coaching anything. There is a philosophy at the football club, and it sort of runs through right through the football club from the first team right the way down. And you hear DNA spoke about a lot as well, and I think Wolves employ a certain type of person as well. So there's a lot of people out there now who have got the qualifications to come and do this job, but I think you have to be a certain type to get a job here at Wolves. And I've seen that in my first few months at the football club from July onwards, and it's thoroughly enjoyable.
So it's not just about a way of playing or a tactical formation or something like that. You're talking about something quite a bit more fundamental than that.
Absolutely, and it runs right the way through, and it starts with the environment. So as soon as you come through the gates here at Compton, you should see that there's a work ethic, there's something going on here at the club, and it comes from the top, really, because if we don't have a manager like Ken in the helm, who is really open to everything we're doing, wants to know what's going on here within the academy, wants to know who my best players have been on a Saturday in the under-18s, we'll take players across and train with them on a regular basis. Knocking down then to Scott in the 21s, there's a real togetherness. It starts with a 9 o'clock meeting every morning with myself, Scott as the 21s, and then we're in the first team meeting as well at 9 o'clock every morning. So we know exactly what they're doing. They're aware of what we're doing. So that communication is daily, and that's important. So like I say, it's more than just us wanting to play it from the back and play through the thirds and have a progressive type of possession. Have players that can run, athletic players, people who can make the box, and people who are creative in possession of the ball as well. It's a lot more than that. It's the environment, it's the person, and that's staff and players.
Is that connection something that is particularly novel to Wolves, or is it something that you're finding, you know, in talking to colleagues and people at other clubs, that is spreading throughout the game? Because I think people perhaps have an idea that at football clubs there's the first team and then there's everybody else.
Yeah. Without speaking out of turn of other clubs, I think a lot of clubs talk about it now.
Yeah.
It's obviously England have relaunched, haven't they, and said about their DNA, and I guess clubs and academies are trying to replicate a little bit. But the only thing I can say is that I've been around a lot of clubs, a lot of academies, and it's easy for me to say, but it does work here. It lives it, and that's important. I think a lot of clubs are disjointed. Like you said, they're separate sites sometimes. So there's a first team across the road from the academy who may be 5 miles away.
Yeah.
We're fortunate in respect of that we've got one site. The players, 18s players, will eat with the first team players. Us as academy staff will eat with first team members of staff. And like I said, the 18s, 21s, we're all in the same building here down the bottom. The academy is separate at the top, but there's real continuity within it. There is other clubs. Norwich was one.
Mm-hmm.
Norwich was very much a family feel. It was a big togetherness down there. The technical director, Ricky Martin, was the academy manager, a bit like Kevin Thirlwell. So there's similarities in the two clubs, and that's what really appealed to me about it. But certainly here, more than any other club I've worked at, it really is living it, and it makes our job a lot easier, because when young players are seeing other players go across and train with the first team and then know that Ken's asking about how they're doing, that gives them a boost every single day.
So who sets the tone for that? Because it's all very well you as the under-18 coach saying, well, we want to be around the first team and whatever. Mm. But the whole club's got to believe that.
Yeah, and like I say, it does come from the top. I think it helps that we've got Kevin Thirlwell, who's now the technical director at the football club, who was academy manager. Gareth Prosser, who's the academy manager, has worked with Kevin. I think Jez has a real big interest in the academy as well. He's down here a lot. He's interested. He's in at a lot of the meetings. We have a technical board meeting once every sort of couple of months, if we can, once every 6 weeks. And that was talking about every individual. So when you've got the chief executive, you've got the technical director, you have the academy manager, you have the first team members of staff, Ken, and all the other staff underneath him. Mm-hmm. Well, that tells you really that it really is going on. We're all sat around a table. We're talking about an under-18 player here. We'll talk about first-team players first and foremost, and then it drops down, the 21s and the 18s. So there's a real pathway, there's a real progression. We think about where the gaps are within those groups as well. So then when we're talking about recruitment, we're in that meeting as well. who's the next one coming through? Do we need another one? Do we need to go and buy one? Do we need to go and get one from lower leagues? So that's where it's set, I guess, from the very top, if you like, Jez, right the way down, and it feeds into us at the bottom. And like I said, it lives it.
Does it help you in looking after the under-18s that they can surely see that the distance to the first team is not as far as it might be, because there are players like Jack Price and Dominic Iorfer and others who are clearly bridging that gap earlier than they might have done at some other clubs?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that sort of... That's a big plus for us. They, like I said, we train across the pitch to what the first team will, and they see, and a couple of our lads go across. You know, Ryan Leake's gone across, Connor Johnson's gone across. I've got Bright Enna Bakari at the moment in with me for the FA Youth Cup, Connor Ronan, Dan Armstrong, who's coming from Hamilton. These have all had exposure to first team training. And Niall Ennis, who's an under 17, who's getting a lot of exposure at the moment. He's been across, and now he's back with the 18. So, yeah, that is the biggest thing for us. That's the carrot. They see it. They can go across and impress on a daily basis. And the gaffer's shown that he's not afraid to put them in on a Saturday as well. Some of those boys have had exposure already to being on the bench, Bright playing in the League Cup.
Yeah.
So it helps us. We have to work extremely hard still as a staff as well to make sure these lads are still developing. They've still got individual programmes. It's not just about them going across to the 21s and the first team and thinking, well, that's it, we've done it. It's important we really nail down that individual development. It's specific to each player. Each player has a six-weekly target they have to hit. The three targets within it may be education, it may be social, it may be technical, it may be tactical. But we make sure we hit it, and we've got a lot of support and infrastructure around to make sure we do that. Sports psychology, sports science, medicine, physiotherapy, coaches, one and two within each group. So much support for that individual. It's changed a lot from my day, and there's a lot there for the lads to use and make sure that we make sure they're using it as well. They come in every day and they are using it. And that, again, with all that support in behind, it's up to the player then.
Do you, I wonder, come across people who say they're a bit too cosseted, Jerry, these youngsters? They're 18, they're here in the same environment as the first team, and therefore they have got, as you just said, the best of everything. They've got people to support them in all things. It was different at your time. Not only that, but you would know because you had a proper job.
Correct, yeah.
They're too much looked after, too much in cotton wool. Do people say that?
Yeah, a lot of the time. Up and down. And I'll say I agree with it to a certain extent. But what I will say is we make them work for it when they're in this environment. It's a long day for a scholar. It's when I talk about my day going back, as you know, when I did work for a living and then go and play non-league football. And it's no sob story. What that did, it gave me grit, it gave me resilience, and it gave me a work ethic. And I try and give that back to the lads as well in my little small part I play along this road for these players. When they come in, I make sure when it's work time, it's work time. So when we're training, I sit down with the sports science and make sure they're hitting all their targets physically as well. Of course, we implement the technical and tactical information, but there's other bits as well. If they're not working hard enough in training, then we'll make sure they are. So we really do hit on them. On a day, they're in 8:30, they're gone at 5, 6 o'clock at night. Within that day, they're doing lots of stuff in that support. So they're gymming, they're doing core work, they're doing match analysis work. They're across, as I said, with sports psychology at time. So there's not really a half an hour in the day where they're not doing anything. Yeah, okay, we do provide them. They come in, they've got a kit man within the academy and their kit's all folded lovely and their towels put on their bench. Yep, that's fine. But what we believe is that if we make sure they're given that, then they have to give us something back as well. And we'll never let them drift. So at this club I'm talking about, there is a work ethic. There is a desire for the players to make sure that they're working. Every time out on the training ground, they're working as hard as what they possibly can. And you'll see it on a Saturday as well. If they don't, they won't fit in with our philosophy. We won't go and get players that are talented but don't have a work ethic. The work ethic comes first. And we've got a lot of talented boys as well off the back of that. And I think if you nurture it and you get both, then you get a good player.
What do players need to make that jump to the first team, which some do? If you've got let's suppose you've got a very good talented player in the academy, and you've clearly got several.
Yeah.
How do you get them from there to being ready to play at first team level?
Mm-hmm.
Because there must be some things along the way. It's not just about being technically good, the toughening up process. How do you work that?
Yeah, that's the bit. I guess that's where we're fortunate when they go across in train, because suddenly it's a bit of a harsh reality at times. Some of the players that we've had have been performing at the top level on a Saturday in the 18s have gone across and really struggled with the first team because they're being tested by the best. You know, when you've got the likes of James Henry. So a left back goes across and James Henry running at you, then it's totally different than you'll have an under 18 on a Saturday. So yeah, that's the test for them really, is the training and giving them as much exposure. So it's the first team again that lead that. So if Ken and Joe and Rob say, right, we need a player, well, they'll take a player. They really will. They won't say, well, we'll go without today and we'll make do. They'll take a player and they'll get challenged within that. And that helps along the route. Big chats at the moment, I know, about 21's football and is it bridging the gap? And, well, we try and make that as competitive as we can as well. And I know Scott works extremely hard with the 21s, making sure, and he does, and he's someone who I really learn off on a daily basis. He makes sure they've got a work ethic, make sure they're doing things in the right way, make sure it's not just possession football, make sure it's progressive, make sure we get bodies running forward and springing attacks with real athleticism as well, which you're going to see in the Championship. Making sure they're resilient and hard to beat, because the Championship's that. We all know it's a grind. It's a league that's really, it's unforgiving. It's Saturday, Tuesday. It's a league that you have to work really hard as an individual and as a team. And I think that's what we do. And we try and replicate it in training, try and replicate it with the 18s and 21s, and then they get exposure with the first team when they can. And in the end, it's down to the manager if he thinks they're right and ready. And we have to try and prepare them along the way. It may take some, like Danny Batt, a few more years. It might be 21, 22, 23 before they're ready. And that's okay, because players develop at different times. As you know, I'd signed for Birmingham at 27.
Sure.
I developed extremely late. And I guess that's another thing I can sometimes spot in a player. It might be a bit later for you, but the 21s allow them to do that. Mm-hmm. And thereafter, it's up to us then as a staff to say, well, he might need those couple of extra years for an opportunity to go and play at the top level.
Who fired this imagination in getting into coaching? I can see this fascinates you and I can understand why it does. Mm. At what point in your playing career did you think, this is for me?
I guess it's always been there, really. I wasn't lucky enough to go through academies, as you know, and I loved the game. All I can say is I was always thinking about the game as a young person. I was always, even at non-league, I was always studying the game. I was always one that made sacrifices for the game, mm-hmm. which could have been easy for me as a non-league player to have gone out on a Friday night, but I didn't. So I prepared myself professionally, I guess, as a player first and foremost, and then I always watched games, and then as I went it through then and got to Birmingham and I saw the level, I'd probably stay, as you know, Mike, I'd stay and probably do extra sessions.
Sure.
I'd probably go and watch then as many games as I could in the Midlands. And then it just grew with me. And then I thought, well, listen, I've been lucky enough to have a 14-year career up until I was 39. And I guess really John Ward and Keith Downing played a massive part at Cheltenham on that, because I was an older player and I started thinking as a coach then at Cheltenham. And I started thinking about, right, what can I give back then? And I should really, because I've got something different to bring from someone who's come from an academy. And I think that's important as well. And I'm not saying I'm the best coach in the world. What I'm saying is I'm a coach that's learning along the way. But I think I've got something a little bit different having come through the non-league route, that, as I spoke about, the grit, the resilience, being able to deal with failure, being able to deal with not being able to train every day, and having to give it my all on Saturday and only train two nights a week.
It's a bit of a cliche, real life experience, some people might say.
Yeah, a little bit of that. And I think there's a part of that to play. And I think I've shown that in my enthusiasm. My enthusiasm as a coach hasn't changed from what it was as a player. Mm-hmm. I love my job daily. I like to come in early and plan my day, and I'll be here as late as I possibly can, but using those hours really productive. I'm not just here to be busy, I'm here to be productive and learn. And long may that continue. I hope it does. And the best thing for me is that I see players now at Norwich City that have gone out on loan and playing league football. I see players, well, I get players that text me now asking for advice that I've had at Kidderminster Harriers when I set up an academy there. Mm-hmm. And that's the best thing for me.
That must give you great satisfaction.
Huge satisfaction, because it's about being a coach, but it's also about being all those other things that we provide here. You know, I'm going to be a mentor to them at times. I'm going to be maybe a shoulder to cry on at times. They may need some advice. I always say my phone's on at midnight at 1 o'clock in the morning if you need me. And that's important, I guess, looking back on my career without going over it. Back in those days, did I have any support like that? Not really. I didn't. And I had to make my way with myself, apart from my dad, who was ferrying me everywhere on a Tuesday night and a Thursday night and on a Saturday. And he was the biggest influence on my career. And if I can give a little bit back, and as I said, be a small part of Wolverhampton Wanderers of maybe producing a player, because I've been in here since July, but there's a lot of really good work that's gone on before I came in here. All I am is inherited good players, inheriting good people, and inherited good people to work alongside as well, and that's important. And I've I've sort of bought into that, and like I say, I'll learn every day I come in. There's some experienced people to learn off, and long may that continue.